Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. One of our favorites, one of the best when it comes to talking college football, editor-in-chief of The Athletic, Stuart Mandel, kind enough to join us. Stuart, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. We'd always heard that there could be an expansion of the playoffs, but it might be after the TV contract expires before they do that. Do you think there's a chance it happens before then?
I think based on the fact that they put in a press release a week ago that they are actively looking at all of these various expansion models, and based on some of the conversations I've had since then, you know, I basically think there are two. I think it's inevitable that it's going to expand, and I think the two options are, I mean, one is to wait until the end of the contract. That would certainly be simpler, but there's a sense of urgency, and the reasoning being that they realize that it's not good for the sport, for the same teams to be going to the playoff over and over again, and large parts of the country to feel like they're not included. You know, there is a possibility that you could do it in 2023, not this season, not next season, but the one after. And it would make sense because that's the first year of the last three-year rotation among the bowls that host the semifinals. So that would be, if you're going to do it, you would want to do it when each of them has hosted an equal number of semis to that point.
Stuart, it surprises me that it's taken this long for the conversations to really start to heat up. You would think that there'd be some major TV execs that would step into an office and it'd take 5 minutes of, hey, guys, what do you want? And we're going to give it to you. Let's just get this thing expanded. How have they not had more influence to kind of speed up this expansion process?
Well, I actually think ESPN was fine with four teams up until recently. It's a property that does very well. It's always the national championship game is always the highest watched event on cable all year. And there were a lot of years left on that contract. I think that what's maybe changed over the last couple years is fatigue is starting to set in. The effect of that, you know, the concern has always been if you expand the playoff, it could have a detrimental effect on the regular season. And I think maybe TV, from their perspective, feels like that's already happening now. Mm-hmm. But this is not being driven by TV. This is being driven by the conferences themselves. There's obviously been a lot of changes among the commissioners in the last few years. You know, the commissioners that started the four-team playoff, Bob Bolger from the Big 12 will soon be the only one left. So you've got new people who are looking at this. You've got people who are less loyal to the bowl games, which really in the past has always been one of the biggest holdups to expanding the playoff is the effect it would have on the bowls. I think in my conversations around the business in the last week, we've reached a point where people are like, that's kind of a lost cause now. I mean, the bowls have been greatly diminished by the 14 playoff, and at this point, you know, you might as well kind of rip off the Band-Aid.
Stuart Mandel of The Athletic joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. And just ballpark here, nothing we're holding you to, but could the financial increase be you know, could be really dramatic, I'm assuming, if they do this in 2023 and what, you know, what the rights fee would be for that? I got to imagine it's got to be through the roof.
It would be dramatic. I don't know that it would necessarily be double, as some people have speculated. The complicated thing there is that you could argue that if you're doing it for financial reasons, you should wait until 2026 when it can go on the open market and you could have, you know, Fox or CBS or whoever, you know, bidding and driving up the price. They have a contract with ESPN. The only way they're going to be able to tear it up early is if ESPN is the one who gets the expanded playoff. And so it'll be interesting to see how much ESPN is willing to play ball there because it's a lot of money. They already spent $7 billion on this. You're asking for even more. But my sense is that it's an extremely important thing for them to hold on to and that they will probably find a way to make that work.
Stuart, do you have any type of theory of what's separated the Pac-12 from the other Power 5 conferences, why they're falling so far behind, have less to offer, they aren't getting any teams into the four-team playoff?
It's not a simple one, you know, there's not one simple reason. There's obviously a lot. You know, and I certainly think that all of the dysfunction at USC over the past decade. And USC is the Pac-12's brand name school, and when they're struggling, it kind of drags down the whole conference. Certainly would have thought, you know, if you were placing a guess in 2014, you would think sometime in the first 7 years of the playoff, USC would have made it. That being said, you know, you do have good programs. Oregon is obviously recruits very well, and they're not that far removed from playing in a national championship game. Utah is very consistent. But none of these programs, you know, the difference between the Pac-12 and the others is that the ACC, while I would say the Pac-12 is a better conference top to bottom than the ACC, the ACC has Clemson. You know, the Big Ten has Ohio State. The Big 12 has Oklahoma. The Pac-12 doesn't have that one dominant program that, you know, when you watch the NFL draft last night and you see how many guys Alabama alone is putting in there, or Clemson, or Ohio State, Pac-12 doesn't have that program right now.
How critical is this commissioner search in hopes of turning things around from just a football perspective from the Pac-12?
I mean, they have to get it right. And, you know, I did a pretty extensive article last week about the state of the Pac-12 and what they need to do going forward. And it starts with the presidents of the conference taking football seriously, which I don't think they've done to this point. I think there's kind of an attitude collectively in the ivory towers of the Pac-12 that, hey, you know, we're not the SEC. We're not going to throw money around, do whatever it takes to win in football. Football's just one sport. And, you know, I think some of the reports about how the commissioner search is going is reflective of that. It's so plainly obvious to the ADs, to the coaches, to anybody that follows this stuff, that if you're going to reverse the direction of where things were going under Larry Scott, you need somebody who has worked in college football, who's been on a campus or been in a conference, who has, you know, hands-on experience with college sports, and yet the names you're seeing mentioned right now are the kind of the next Larry Scott, a seasoned TV executive. There was a woman at the NBA who was mentioned for it. That's not the right direction here. That was what you did last time. And it paid off initially. Larry Scott got them a great deal with ESPN and Fox. But then as the years went on, I mean, you do a TV deal and then you don't do it again for another 7, 8, 10 years. It's how do you govern the conference in the meantime? And I don't think, there's any number of things you could point to that show where he fell short on that.
Stuart, how far away are we from seeing a conference exit from underneath the NCAA and start their own management?
Everybody's very frustrated right now with the news about Mark Emmert's extension. There's a lot of angst with the NCAA in general, but it's also a very complicated thing to unwind because, the conferences basically run college football themselves, in particular the Power Five, but then there's all these other sports where, you know, the NCAA runs the championships, and certainly there are a lot of sports where the smaller schools are actually some of the better programs in it. So I don't see a total divorce from the NCAA. What I see down the road, and it may coincide with some of these TV deals or if there's playoff expansion, is the top 25 or so college football programs, the big names, the ones that bring in the most TV revenue, starting their own football product that is outside of the NCAA, but they're still in the NCAA and they're still in their conferences and all the other sports. But the NCAA doesn't sponsor, there is no NCAA championship for the highest level of college football. And so it lends the question of why are they letting Stony Brook and Sacred Heart and all of these schools, you know, govern how these $100 million football programs operate? And that, if there's going to be some sort of split, it's probably going to be closer to that.
You know, you brought up Mark Emmert getting that contract extension. And, you know, look, you can't open up Twitter or anybody without somebody complaining about Mark Emmert and how they've bungled so many issues throughout so many years. But the guy just keeps getting extension after extension. And sooner or later, you got to turn around and say, well, maybe the problem's not Mark Emmert. Maybe it's the people that are enabling Mark Emmert. Because it seems like that he keeps getting opportunities, so he must be making somebody happy.
Yeah, he's making the presidents happy who sit on the board of trustees. Look, it's kind of parallel to what I was just talking about with the Pac-12. The paradox of college sports is that the people who make the most important decisions, these university presidents, college athletics is a side thing for them. I mean, they have a university to run, and then every couple of months they get called to a meeting about NCAA matters. And so I think there's a total disconnect there. I mean, Mark Emmert himself is a former college president. So I think there's a complete disconnect there between what they value, what they see as important, and what the actual ADs and coaches and people who work in college athletics every day feel is important. I don't know how you justify another 5 years of Mark Emmert when, you know, all the NCAA has done over the last decade is lose lawsuits and screw up NIL. You know, there's this controversy, obviously, with the women's basketball tournament this year. There's nothing the NCAA itself has done over the last decade under his watch that has moved things forward. It's really just been more about slowing things down. And, but look, like you said, I mean, however he's doing it, he's keeping his bosses happy, and thus this is going to continue.
If you had to project 5 years out from right now, the five quarterbacks that were taken there in the draft, which of those quarterbacks, given the organizations that drafted them, will have the most success in the next 5 years?
That's a heavy question. You know, it's hard to bet against Trevor Lawrence. He's the sure thing. I know he's not going into a great organization, and frankly, I'm not sold that Urban Meyer will be the coach to take that organization to the next level, but I think it's hard to deny that he isn't. I mean, he's the most proven talent. All those other guys, there's questions around them. And you know, I certainly don't think it helps Zach Wilson's cause to go to the Jets in the state that they're in. You'd rather he go to a more state. I mean, imagine if he was the one that went to the Patriots instead of Mac Jones and all the great support he would have there. Mac Jones is going into a great situation, and so maybe he's the answer to that question. But he's not a generational talent to me the way Trevor Lawrence is.
Would you have taken Justin Fields over Trey Lance?
Yes, absolutely. I think sometimes the NFL teams overthink it. And, you know, look, if they were just going to take it based on who the Heisman voting, you know, they wouldn't really be able to justify their salary. So they watch the film and they overanalyze it, and they've decided that Trey Lance is the second coming. And maybe he is. I don't know. We really barely have seen him to this point, but all I know is Justin Fields in 2019, if Joe Burrow wasn't the phenomenon that he was, you know, Justin Fields would have had a pretty darn good case to be the player of the year in college football that year. He did have some bad games last season, no question, but I think it was a really weird year for Ohio State with playing fewer games and the COVID disruption. By the time he played Alabama in the national championship game, you know, they basically played the equivalent of two-thirds of the season. So I don't know. I don't know what they're all seeing that caused him to drop as far as he did, but kudos to the Bears for stepping up and getting him, and I think he'll make them look smart.
Well, Stuart, appreciate your time. Great stuff as always on The Athletic. I'm a subscriber. I swear by it. I know a lot of other people do. If you have not, highly encourage you to it's a killer savings for sure, and it's a great product. But, Stuart, thanks for your time, man, and we'll catch up with you down the line.
All right, thanks for having me.
Stuart Mandel from The Athletic right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.